Welcome to the new reality edition of Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, where we serve you the first bite of today's science, technology, and innovation. I'm Bert Lum, and today's show, we've got Guy Kawasaki. He's the author, writer, evangelist, investor, who has a new book coming out called, it's about Signal. It's called Everyone Has Something to Hide. Hey, Guy, welcome to Bite Marks Cafe.
Yeah, thank you. It's such a pleasure to be here again, Bert.
you know, you've got an open invitation to join me on the Bite Marks Cafe anytime you want.
Okay.
And of course, you know, you're back and forth to Hawaii quite often. In fact, you know, we were hoping that you could come in and grace me with your attendance, your presence here in the studio. But tell me, before we get into the detail, like, You were coming back for some talks, and you were going to do something on Maui. What was that? What was that? This recent trip?
Yeah, I came in for a talk in Maui. I got to that. I came back to Honolulu. I went surfing at canoes, and the wave was 10 to 12 inches, not feet. I pulled my sciatica, and I have been suffering for the last 9 days. You know. Our apartment is across the street from Target, and so a big day for me is to go across the street and go to Target. That's like the highlight of my trips to Hawaii right now.
Oh, man. Well, you know, if you're sitting on a couch, relaxing, just stay put. You know, we'll make it painless. We'll definitely make it painless for you to do this interview. Now, you know, when you were here this past fall, you know, and you were telling me about Signal, and you know, there's a whole bunch of like messaging apps out there, and I was kind of intrigued, like, you know, why is Guy Kawasaki? I mean, you've written all kinds of books about being, you know, in business and coming up with ways of sort of like guerrilla marketing, but then all of a sudden you're writing about an app. Like, what, you know, what possessed you to write about, like, Signal?
Well, let's say that there are several factors that have never been true before. So the first factor is, let's just say that it is politically an interesting time, with all kinds of raids and, you know, stuff. Like, it's like a really shaky time. I mean, we don't even live in Minnesota, but, you know, we live in Hawaii. But, you know, like, it's like a little dicey. So I think privacy is more and more important. And so that was factor number one. Factor number two is that I got this thought in my head. Yeah, you know, maybe I should have a more private app. So I tried Signal, and I loved Signal. I am very familiar with messaging and email because I get slowed every day. And so I've worked for a company that published an email client. I know this really well. And Signal is extremely well designed, good user interface. So I like that. And, you know, then I thought, I've been writing all these business books, but now here's a way that I can help preserve democracy, help America survive.
Well, you've always been pretty, you know, sort of outspoken, speaking truth to power. You know, you just basically say what you want to say. And you're kind of right. I mean, it is kind of a sensitive time. And I know you as an evangelist, I mean, you've been doing stuff with Canva. And, you know, I've seen you on, you know, like some of these Mercedes you know, talking about some of the brands, right? But you're not really affiliated with Signal. This is not an evangelist right?
No. I have no financial relationship with Signal. Signal is a not-for-profit foundation anyway, so it's not like they're going to go public or anything. And I'm telling you, my motivation is completely pure because I have no affiliation, I have no equity, I have no payment, no nothing. I just love Signal, and I just love privacy. You know, that's what I want to do. If I could start all over, I would only be on Signal. I don't think I would even have email. And about 2 weeks ago, I stopped using WhatsApp, and so I'm cutting down. And that's, you know, I'm trying to be more and more selective.
Now, you know, I don't know, just because some of the international contacts that I have, you know, they all use WhatsApp. And after kind of hearing you talk about Signal, I am trying to get them to kind of switch over to Signal from WhatsApp. And, you know, WhatsApp is basically another Meta company, right?
Yeah. Yep, it is. Yeah.
And if you're a little worried about how Facebook is using your data or Instagram is using your data, shouldn't you be kind of worried about how WhatsApp is using data, your data?
You're preaching to the choir, brah. I mean, that's exactly how I feel. And, you know, like, unless you want to help Mark Zuckerberg own an island, I mean, I don't know why you would help that. So I really feel that way. And I think it's very important. And if I were an activist in Hawaii, mm-hmm. you know, like the Native Hawaiian movement or something like that,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I would do everything on Signal.
Mm-hmm. Now, your book is called Everyone Has Something to Hide, and I think that's a pretty provocative title. Now, I guess, in terms of hiding something, I mean, I don't know, who was it that said, you know, if you got nothing to hide, you got no fear of using using some of the apps that we just talked about. But, you know, when you talk about even just sensitive, whether it's family stuff or, you know, relationships that you might have, it might not be sort of controversial, but you want to kind of keep that private. So, you know, what is it about Signal that prevents some of the, you know, like the companies that we talked about, whether it's WhatsApp?
Okay. So here there's several factors. Okay. First of all, it's end-to-end encrypted, which mm-hmm. means that the message that the text of the message is encrypted so nobody can read it. Now, Apple and Meta will also say that that's true about what they do, and it is true. But Signal, in terms of metadata, which is kind of like the phone records, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So Signal only keeps when your account was open, what your phone number is, and when it was last used. Whereas the metadata that other companies keep is like every call, every time, location, all that kind of stuff. So, you know when you watch these crime movies and somebody, the FBI or somebody trying to chase down this criminal, and there's two aspects, right? They tap the phone so they can listen to the conversation. Well, if your conversation is encrypted, it's all jumbled up so nobody can understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you watch these crime shows, all the people, they get the phone records.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
from the phone records is like your metadata. And from the phone records, they can say, oh, I saw him call this guy. I saw him call him again. I saw him call him again. You know, he was here. He was there. I can reconstruct. I don't have the message itself, but I can reconstruct that he overlapped with this guy in, you know, Berlin and all that. And so that's one factor. A second factor is that the motivation of Signal as a foundation is to provide a secure messaging app. Let's just say the motivation of these other companies is to monetize your traffic.
Mm-hmm.
That is a very different motivation, right? I mean, you know, they're not doing it because they're nice people or they want to help you have private messaging. And so that's another factor. You know, the motivation is very different. And then I would say the third factor is that the Signal program itself is open source. So that means basically anybody can go look at the source and say, you know, Signal, this is what you said you're doing, but you're really not doing that. You know, or they can blow the whistle on Signal because it's open source.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say that messages and Meta and Gmail is not exactly open source, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm,
so you got to
mm-hmm.
just trust them that they say, yeah, we're doing this. You got to trust them because it's not open source.
I want to ask you a little bit about Signal as a nonprofit, and then also want to ask you a little bit about why isn't it more, let's say, popular in terms of use. So we'll hold that thought. We'll be right back after this short break to continue our conversation with Guy Kawasaki. He's the author of a new book called Everyone Has Something to Hide. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor Furniture Plus Design.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR 1. I'm Bert Lum. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Guy Kawasaki. He's an author, writer, evangelist, investor. And of course, we're talking to him about his new book about Signal called Everyone Has Something to Hide. And Guy, you know, right before the break, Signal, the foundation, nonprofit, how do they make money? I mean, they can't be running this kind of very worldwide application you have a lot of people on for free.
Well, their revenue model is support from the users. It's donations.
Mm-hmm.
They just introduced a remote backup that you can pay for, but even that is really inexpensive. So it is based on a not-for-profit model, mm-hmm, as opposed to an advertising model.
And it's sort of maybe parallel to something like a Wikipedia?
Exactly. Yeah, like Wikipedia. And, you know, don't get me started on Wikipedia, because I think that is one of the best sources of information in the world.
Oh, yeah. I love to hear your talks about Wikipedia and the fact that it is kind of the archive, right? The archive of all this information is built upon, you know, people contributing to, you know, the whole information base.
You know, you asked the question before the break, and I didn't get to answer it. I want to answer this question. Mm. So, you know, like, people think, well, I don't need to use Signal. I don't need to use a secure private messaging system because I have nothing to hide.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not an activist. I'm not a mafia guy. I'm not a drug dealer. You know, what do I have to hide? And I think that is a very dangerous assumption. So a good test for you would be, are you texting things that if you were driving down Licky Licky Highway and you saw on the side of the road, you know, your text message on a billboard, would you say, oh, my God, I don't want that on that billboard?
Mm-hmm.
That's the test.
Mm-hmm.
So let me give you some examples. So let's say that you wanted to stink about your boss. You wouldn't want that on the billboard. Let's say that you wanted to talk about, you know, some deal that's going down in your company. You wouldn't want that on the billboard. Let's say that your son or daughter is having trouble figuring out the UH housing system, so your son or daughter sends you his username and password so you can go into the UH system and figure out his housing. You don't want his username and password on the billboard. Let's say that, you know, you're going through a messy divorce and you're texting with your lawyer. You wouldn't want that on, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things that it's not illegal, but you don't want it on that billboard on Liki Liki or Kalani Amiole or Kalakaua Avenue.
Well, you know, I've thought about that, and, you know, the one thing that scares me a little bit is that you also have to trust the person that you're signaling to. Right, so if I signal something to you, Guy, and then you can copy and paste it and put it on that billboard, I would still be a little worried.
That is true, but let me tell you how Signal makes that better, because you can set by default all your messages to automatically disappear.
Oh,
and the shortest time you can set for that is 1 second. So, Bert, I could send you something that says blah blah blah, and you read it, and 1 second later, it's gone. And so you would really have to be quick and take a screenshot or take a picture. So that's one thing, and I don't know anything that can do that as well. So that's number one. Number two is there's a very robust system where you can verify that the person who says he's Bert Lum really is the Bert Lum I want to talk to, that, you know, it's not a journalist, and I'm not leaking Department of Defense secrets to him. I added them by mistake. I didn't know what that was. So that's the second factor. You can also send a picture on Signal, and it's one-time view. So you send the picture, Bert, you can look at the picture one time, and mm-hmm. it's gone. So now, you know, obviously there are ways to defeat this, but, you know, it takes a pretty sharp person to say, oh, I got 1 second to take a screenshot.
Yeah, right.
You know,
right.
How do you take a screenshot of an Android phone?
Yeah. Now, you know, your argument is very compelling, and I jumped on Signal. What I did find as a bit of an obstacle is, how do I find my friends, right? So I would typically, you know, with SMS, I mean, everybody is on your contact list because they gave you their phone number. So it's pretty easy to text them that in that manner.
Yeah.
And now some of these other apps that we talked about, you know, whether it's Telegraph or WhatsApp or, you know, whatever, it will scrape, or it'll actually read all your contacts if you give it permission to. It'll read all your contacts and then load them onto that respective application. I always worry about that. I don't want WhatsApp going into my contact list and basically pulling all my contacts. So I never ever do that. But so how would you get, you know, more of your contacts onto Signal as opposed to one by one?
Well, you can voluntarily let Signal check your contacts to see who in your contacts is on Signal. When that information gets transferred to Signal for the check, it is encrypted. They don't keep that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's number one. But basically, really, the best way to find somebody on Signal that you already know is to enter the person's phone number and have Signal search if that person is on Signal. Now, let's assume that it finds somebody. So this is the beauty of Signal versus other messaging and email. So the first time, let's say I put in your number, Bert, and Signal tells me, yeah, Bert's on Signal. So I send you a message, and you get a message that you can reject or accept. And if you accept it manually, then we can have a conversation. Now, with text messages, you know, everybody gets 50 pieces of spam every day, right? And you know, it's just coming in. As soon as your number is out there, it's not a matter of you're saying, yes, I want to have a conversation with this spammer. It just floods in.
Mm-hmm, right.
So the beauty of this is that from the first contact, you have to say, okay, Bert can write to me.
And that makes a difference because, like you said, you know, I think all of us get these texts from a number. You don't know what that number is, but it says something like, hey, weren't we going to have dinner tonight? And it doesn't identify who they are. It sort of says this sort of almost personal message saying, hey, you know, let's hook up for dinner, or how did you like the party last night? You know, and you think, what the heck is this? So, I totally agree.
Well, you know, if somebody had your phone number and they were a spammer on Signal, they could send you that message, right? But when the message comes in, you have to accept or reject. And if you reject, you never hear from that person again. Now, with a spammer on messages, that person can keep sending you messages and sending you messages and sending you messages. It's going to enter into your inbox, right? The irony of one of these things is one of the worst places is AtBlue. So if you donate money to a Democrat, oh, my God, you're going to start getting freaking 25 messages a day from people running for, I'm the Democratic candidate for dog catcher of Burlington, North Carolina.
Yeah,
you know, we gotta vote for a Democratic dog catcher because, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I get 50 messages a day from freaking AtBlue.
Okay, now I do want to get the backstory on how you decided to go about publishing this book, because I think there's some great stories that you have, Guy. So we'll hold that thought. We'll be right back on the short break to continue our conversation with Guy Kawasaki. He got a new book about Signal called Everyone Has Something to Hide. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor The Hidden Nene.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe. I'm Bert Lum right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR 1. And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Guy Kawasaki, author, writer, evangelist, investor, who's got a new book about Signal called Everyone Has Something to Hide. And Guy, you know, you were telling me some of the kind of cool stories about how you kind of pitched the book to a publisher, and you had a proposition, and according to your story, they didn't really go with that suggestion, and you decided, I'm going to just do this on my own. So start with that story, and tell us where you are with actually releasing the book and publishing it.
First thought was that I should write a book called Signal for Dummies, mm-hmm. because, you know, the For Dummies series is so successful, and, you know, there's Word for Dummies, Windows for Dummies, Macintosh for Dummies, Excel for Dummies, Photoshop for Dummies, you know, there's all these For Dummies. And so I actually pitched Wiley, and they sent me a contract, and I told them that I want the hardcover version of this book to be priced at $17.76 for yeah. obvious reasons referencing U.S. history. Mm-hmm. And they told me that every For Dummies book has to end in 99 cents. And I said, who told you that? Did God tell you that? Did Moses tell you that? Did, you know, Muhammad tell you that? Did Buddha tell you that? Who told you every For Dummies book has to end in 99 cents? And they said, nope, you know, it has to be 99 cents. So I wanted $17.76, so for 23 cents, I walked away from that deal because I wanted to price it and have a little Easter egg. So the first version of this book is self-published. It's on Kindle, and I thought, okay, so $17.76 is way too high for a Kindle book. Nobody's going to buy it at that price. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, what is another number that, you know, people will look at and say, ah, I can see what Guy is doing. So the price is $4.04 because when you 404 on the web, it means the information is not found. You cannot go to that website, which is kind of what privacy is, mm-hmm. right? So 404 is the price of the Kindle version of this. I also wanted to make it Kindle because you can give it away for 5 days for free every 90 days. And electronically updating the book is much easier on Kindle than if you had to revise paper and printing presses and all that. So, mm-hmm. you know, Signal changes, we'll change the Kindle book and we'll try to keep up the date as much as possible.
Now, I want you to, you know, kind of like share some of the options or offers that are about to be made available. But before you okay. do that, can you just maybe mention a couple of the chapters that you think are really go-to chapters? Because I know you told me, hey, Bert, you can read whatever you want to read, and yeah. it doesn't have to be in any order. So what would you suggest to be some of the key chapters for people to pay attention to?
Well, for someone just beginning Signal, mm-hmm. there's a chapter on, you know, how to set up, how to download, how to install, how to get set. So that's the obvious for the beginner. Another chapter, which is probably not in most app books or tech books, is how to get other people to use Signal, because the one most challenging part of Signal is that it only has, I think, about 200 million people. So the odds of all the people you want to contact being on Signal is not that great. And, you know, compared to messages or email, where you just get the number or you get the email, you can start interacting, right?
Right,
but that's
right.
not true with Signal.
Right.
Signal, the person has to be on Signal,
right.
which is good news and bad news.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a chapter about how to evangelize Signal, which is, let's just say, that's not in most For Dummies books. And a third chapter is, I have a chapter that says, if you absolutely want to be the most private and the most safe, this is everything you need to do. And I think that is a very good chapter for people who are, you know, really activists. If you're LGBTQ plus activist, political activist, this kind of thing, you know, mm-hmm. you should be really safe these days.
Now, you intrigued me with the chapter about, you know, being an evangelist for Signal. So what is your, as an evangelist, what is your advice to become an evangelist for Signal?
Well, to be an effective evangelist for Signal, you've got to be using Signal.
Okay.
You've got to understand, you know, when somebody pushes back and says, well, you know, I'm on messages, I'm on WhatsApp, they say it's end-to-end encryption, you need to understand the counter argument to that, which is, yes, we're all end-to-end encrypted, but how much metadata do those other apps store, much more than Signal? Is there source code, open source, so you really know what they're doing? No. Mm-hmm. Are they from a company that's corrupted or corruptible? No. I mean, you know, these are questions you should ask.
Mm-hmm. Have you looked into the nonprofit board, or who are the people? Do you feel a good sort of level of trust for the people that are on the board of Signal?
Well, I can't tell you I know everybody who's on the board of Signal or I know everybody at Signal. I interviewed the CEO at South by Southwest on stage, so that's how I got to know her. But, I mean, even more important than that is, even if you knew somebody on the board and you trusted them and blah, 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 the key is that the source code is open. So, you know, you may love this person on the board, but that board person probably is not a programmer, is not looking at every line of code. Well, with open source Signal, you know, anybody can look at the source code and tell you, this is not really true what you're saying. So I think that is a very good check.
Yeah. Now, you have some specials coming up, right? So the book is available for a period of time for a small cost, but there is a period of time when it's going to be no cost. So what's the availability?
Okay. So if you're listening to this on Friday, I forget the number, if you pre-order the book prior to January 27th, it is a whopping 99 cents.
Okay.
In other words, it's one-third of a spam musubi until the 27th.
Okay.
Now, on the 28th, it's going to go down to free for 5 days. Because I want it to be spread out as much as possible. But here's a very interesting fact that I just learned. So you would think, okay, so I want to set the price at $4.04, but I want the first 5 days to be free. And Amazon does not let you start a promotion until it's released.
Mm-hmm.
So all the pre-orders are going to be billed at 99 cents. Because I cannot change the price to free prior to release. So on January 26th at midnight, all the pre-orders will ship out at 99 cents. 24 hours later, I'm changing the list price to $4.04, but it's going to be free for 5 days. So if you want to save 99 cents, then you order it on the 28th. If you don't care about the 99 cents, you order it right now.
Okay.
And I guarantee you it is worth 99 cents.
Well, very good, Guy. That's the perfect timing. I'm going to just order. I think I can afford 99 cents. Guy Kawasaki, he's an author, writer, evangelist, and investor. And, of course, he's got a new book on Signal called Everyone Has Something to Hide. Hey, Guy, I just love having you on the show, so come back anytime. Thanks for joining me.
All right. Thank you very much. It's an honor and pleasure.
And thank you for listening to Byte Marks Cafe. Join us next week when we'll talk about the Pacific Alliance for Collaboration and Technology Conference. If you miss any part of this edition, you can find the podcast of tonight's show on bitemarkscafe.org. Our engineer is David Chong. You can catch us on HPR One every Friday or anytime via the HPR app or your favorite podcast application. In the meantime, you stay safe, you stay awesome. We'll see you next week on another edition of Byte Marks Cafe.